Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Welcome in. Good Wednesday afternoon to you. John Dickinson and Alan Stiles sitting in for Damon and Ratto here for the next 4 hours on 95.7 The Game. Phone lines open. Text line open. 888-957-9570. It is the Xfinity mobile text line, of course. Alan, how you doing, my man? Good to be with you again today and tomorrow for the two of us. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, good to be here, JD. You know, these weird days right before the new year, right? This has got to be one of the weirdest weeks of the year, possibly the weirdest week of the year. But luckily, we got some Warriors to talk about. Some Warriors, they play again today. So let's get into it.
Yeah, a lot going on. Warriors get a win last night over the Hornets, 110-105. Quick turnaround as they'll be back in action tonight right here at 95.7 The Game. 7 o'clock tip, 6 o'clock Warriors Live, as I'll have that for you, the Warriors and the Utah Jazz. In this one, we got a great show for you coming up. 4 o'clock, 49ers center Jake Brendel is going to join us here on 95.7 The Game. So we'll get his take on everything going on during this 8-game winning streak now as the 49ers sit at 11-4, and just the transition from Trey Lance to Jimmy Garoppolo to now Brock Purdy as the Niners have it rolling as well as anybody in the NFL. So keep it locked here at 95.7 The Game for that. Good stuff. But let's start with some Dubs conversation here off the top. Big win for the Warriors. Yeah. It wasn't a pretty win. It was a powerful start at 37-16 into the first quarter. But the Warriors found themselves in a tie game with about 3-4 minutes to go. They do enough to win it. A lot of Jordan Poole and surprise, surprise, a lot of Jonathan Kuminga. Jonathan Kuminga willing the Warriors to a win. I think that is an extension of, at least a small one, what we saw on Sunday against the Grizzlies, where it was a young player helping them win a game that at this point I think the Warriors have to have.
Exactly. And the thing about what Jonathan Kuminga did, first of all, JD, anybody who is on the side of the two timelines that doesn't want to move the kids, they had a great night last night. That person is probably taking a victory lap, because we saw exactly what we've been hoping to see from this second timeline. You saw flashes from Jonathan Kuminga, obviously Jordan Poole doing his thing. By the way, a little later, we're going to get into this Jordan Poole situation. There was a lot of slander going on with Jordan Poole from Dub Nation on these airwaves not too long ago. I'm going to shut that down. But you had Jonathan Kuminga doing his thing. You know, even Moses Moody contributing as well. So a lot of contributions from different guys in a game where Dante DiVincenzo had the same amount of points to match his number, which was zero. You still had enough offense to get it done. So a great day for the kids and a great day for the Warriors all around.
It's a tricky dynamic because, you know, and here's the deal for me. I mean, I'm almost, and yes, you're correct. I mean, this is the second consecutive game on this homestand where the young players have impacted winning against a good team, against a not so good team. Either way, both games are equally as important because my take on this homestand is really the collective as opposed to the individual outcomes. Mm-hmm. It's more of, hey, you go 6-2 or better and you've got action. Mm-hmm. Almost regardless of how you do it.
Yeah,
I think last night, you know, we're not at the point with this team as it's currently constituted, no Wiggins, no Curry, to where we're going to be rating wins like, oh, that was an ugly one, or oh, they almost blew it. Bottom line is they won it, and if they hadn't won it, it would have completely wiped away the win over Memphis on Sunday. I mean, it essentially, you're back to the drawing board, and it doesn't matter at that point if the kids played well or helped, because they didn't help you win a game. It means you weren't good enough, and now you're three games under as opposed to one game under, and now you got to win, you know, four of the next five or the next three just to get back to 500, and at that point, the homestand's basically over. So the reality is, for this team right now, they need wins, and so they were able to get one. I'm more looking at, how does the homestand go as a whole, you know, between now and I guess 2 weeks from last night, you know, being able to get the job done?
Yeah, and when I look at, you know, this Warriors team and exactly where they're at right now, it's almost like a ladder, JD, or as the saying goes, one step forward, two steps back. They got to stop taking steps back. They did that too early in the season, and they don't have time. They don't have time for this. They don't have time to drop games that they're not supposed to drop. They did that too early in the season. We were talking in the pre-show, like you said, they're mulligans. When you go out golfing, they used all their mulligans already. So it's pedal to the metal right now. The thing about how the Hornets got into the game last night, the Warriors didn't ever play bad. I don't remember a stretch last night where you're thinking the Warriors necessarily let the Hornets back into the game.
They were bad in the first quarter, I think. But
well, I'm saying once they got the lead. Yeah, once the Warriors had the lead.
I'm sorry. I thought you meant the Hornets. The Hornets were bad in the first quarter.
Yeah. I'm saying when you looked up, and you went to go grab some water, and all of a sudden the Hornets were only down three, and I think at one point they tied the ball game. You're wondering what happened. Was it turnovers? Was it this? Was it that? And ultimately, this Warriors team, maybe more so than ever before, which is crazy when you think about, obviously, the Splash Brothers and Kevin Durant, they are so dependent on the three ball, and it just wasn't falling last night, and that's how the Hornets got back in the game. It wasn't bad play. It wasn't sloppy play, but when you are a, you know, live by it, die by it, and last night they almost did die by it, but luckily they did enough, and maybe part of that is Charlotte just isn't good enough to complete that comeback, but to that point, you got to stack up W's. It doesn't matter how you do it.
Well, we talked about it on Monday. The simple fact that the Warriors brought the right intensity, they brought the right edge, they brought the right focus. They were gritty against Memphis.
Right.
They also had 18 threes. Mm-hmm. And we said, look, an extension of that game is beat Charlotte by any means necessary, and you may not hit 18 threes.
Exactly.
Well, guess what? They didn't hit 18 threes, but the rest of it was very similar in terms of the effort and the intensity level and the grind. And look, Klay Thompson getting off to 20 in the first half and 14 in the first quarter. I mean, all of that helps. Jordan Poole, you know, continuing to play well and finishing with 24. You know, and Kuminga impacting. I mean, Kuminga had four or five plays down the stretch that were huge. You know, a dunk, the rip.
The strip. He deboed him.
The rip.
He just said, give me that ball.
Absolutely. And so that, I mean, that is, it looked at times he went up and got that rebound over Plumlee where he snatched it away. I mean, that was, in a moment, it was almost as if, and I jokingly said this at the top of the show, like Kuminga was not going to be denied.
Yeah.
Like he was going to dictate that the Warriors weren't losing that game. And that was huge on a night where the Warriors are playing shorthanded. Here's the tricky dynamic about the big picture stuff, because all of this is related to the big picture. The short term, it comes down to, if the Warriors are going to make a run, if the Warriors are going to make a run in the playoffs, the one thing that I'm kind of sick of hearing is nothing that happens right now matters.
Right.
You know, they can win, they can lose, they can do this, whatever. It's just get healthy, and if they're 40-42 or they're 43-49, whatever, it doesn't matter. As long as they're top 10, none of it matters. Mm-hmm. And I push back on that vehemently. And to me, if you look at the years that the Warriors have made runs, either losing in the finals or winning the NBA championship, right, at some point during those years, they've put together a stretch where they were dominant. They showed you over a big time stretch of games that they could be outstanding. Mm-hmm. Last year they were 18-2. Last year they were, I think, 30-9 and 41-13 at their highest watermark. These games matter right now, because the last thing you want to do if you're the Warriors is look up at the end of this homestand and be 4, 6, 8 games under 500. At that point, what are you really playing for? And I think there, you know, there is an urgency to the Warriors, I think, led by Draymond and Klay Thompson with Curry and Wiggins out, to where they know right now, and they're telling us by how hard they're playing, and even by playing through some being nicked up or being injured, that they know that they need that these games right now, and that this is a critical juncture in their season.
So the thing about a season is, obviously, everybody says it's a marathon, not a sprint. With that being said, though, even in a marathon, if you get too far back at the beginning of the marathon, you might think, all right, I've done it before myself, JD. Okay, I'm going to keep something in the tank. Then towards the end of the marathon, then towards the end of the race, I'm going to book it. Then you get there and you don't realize you're more tired than you assumed you'd be at the end of the race, and you have nothing to tap into. And I think a lot of Warriors fans feel like they'll always be able to tap into it. We've seen flashes of that. We just don't know how much they can tap into it and how often. They call it a playoff run, JD. They call it a championship run. That means you go on a run to get this done. If we've never seen the Warriors go on a run during the regular season, why should we feel confident that they can all of a sudden go on a run to win the championship? Because they did it last year? Because they've done it before? If that's all you're going off of, that's not enough. At some point, we're going to have to see this team go on some sort of run where they look like one of, if not the best team in basketball, for a stretch of 5 games, maybe, you know, 5 games, 10 games. It's a playoff run, and they have not gone on one run yet this season.
Well, and the other part is just the fact that at this point, I think they know that they have to win enough games now to make the back end relevant. Like, they can't, you don't, they may be able to play well down the stretch once Curry comes back, even if they don't right now. But I think they've got so many winnable games in this homestand that they know that right now, if you can get a 6-2, if you can get a 7-1, if you can push to where you're over that 500 mark, and then you get Curry back and you get Wiggins back at some point here prior to that, then you're not going to be wearing yourself out if you have that hot stretch with the core group together just to get back to 500, or just to fight to be in the play-in tournament at 7, 8, 9, and 10. Because to me, all of that amount of good play is going to be so taxing. And look, I think even last night is an example. Last night was a hard fought win. Like, that tells you, I think, and should let Warrior fans know for the rest of this homestand, how difficult it's going to be to get wins. All of these games are winnable. Nobody's disputing that, but none of them are going to be easy.
Yeah.
Like, they are going to have to bring a level of play every single game. Otherwise, as we saw last night, they were a play away from losing to Charlotte at home. And they could be a play away from losing to Utah, or a play away from losing to Portland or Detroit or Orlando or any of these teams. They're going to have to keep bringing it. And I think the Warriors are realizing, Alan, that bringing it now in these games is going to help them not have to grind so hard when they have everybody down the stretch to where they wear that group out to a point where if you're the seven seed, you don't have enough in the tank, not to get through the play-in tournament, but to get through the play-in tournament and win a first round and win a second round and win a conference finals and then win NBA championship.
Which at that point would all be on the road if that was the path. And I know a lot of people, well, you know, the Warriors, they've done it on the road before. Again, last season, not this season.
Couple of text messages here quickly. 408 already. They haven't been healthy. Chill out. They were completely healthy the first 10 games of the year. They went 3-7. They couldn't beat Charlotte, Orlando, or Detroit on the road.
Right.
And look, completely healthy at this point, Alan, and you know this, completely healthy for the Warriors means no Klay in the second of back-to-backs. And by the way, Klay Thompson not playing tonight.
Yeah.
Officially ruled out, second of a back-to-back. Shouldn't surprise anybody. I know Steve Kerr did call him doubtful last night, which was a step up. Typically, he's ruled him out for every second of a back-to-back.
Yeah, and I'm looking at this game tonight. The Jazz, a game that you really just blew at the end of the game. That was the game in Utah when they were up, I don't know, what was it, 5 points with 8 seconds left, something like that. They ended up losing that ball game. They should have something ready for the Jazz. And I know there's no Klay Thompson. You should still have something ready. Ultimately, JD, when you look at the rotations, right, I keep on going back to the Celtics because that's just the closest thing in my mind to what we saw in the finals last year. And the reason you should still be optimistic, not that we want to, you know, sound pessimistic right now. This is just what it is. The Warriors aren't in a great spot. But when you look at the rotations, I think everybody believes in the top seven players for the Warriors, right? So Getting to the playoffs, I could still understand why people are saying, look at that top seven. Look at what that starting five was doing. There's no reason to freak out. The problem is you still have to get there. And you get there by your eighth guy, your ninth guy, your tenth guy, and beyond doing enough and contributing enough so that your top seven don't feel burnt out by the time you get to the playoffs, right? I mean, even though the Celtics were able to pull it off, the Celtics are younger than the Warriors. That's just the truth. That's just the fact. So I'm not looking at what Moses Moody, I'm not looking at what Anthony Lamb, I'm not looking at what Ty Jerome, I'm not looking at what these guys are doing right now in the sense of, wow, we're going to need these Ty Jerome threes in the playoffs, or we're going to need Ty Jerome to break some stuff down in the playoffs. I'm not looking at it like that. Yeah. I'm saying you have to play well so we can survive right now. You're just treading water. You got to tread water until Steph gets back, Andrew Wiggins gets back, and even when they do get back, you have to be able to contribute so they're not having to go 110% every single game for the rest of the season. So that's why the bench matters. We don't think that Anthony Lamb and Ty Jerome are going to be major contributors in the playoffs. Maybe they do some things, but they're not going to be the reason the Warriors win the championship or not. I don't think so.
Yeah.
They could be based on the regular season, though.
Yeah, no, not to get too in the weeds on Anthony Lamb and Ty Jerome. I think Anthony Lamb potentially could be somebody that plays in the playoffs if the Warriors ultimately could convert his contract. The only way Ty Jerome's playing in the playoffs is if, obviously, he'd have to have his contract converted, but the only way he's playing in the playoffs is if there's an injury and one of the other guards is out. So if they lost DiVincenzo, then we'd be talking about that. If they lost Poole or Curry or Klay, then obviously you'd need somebody. But if Steph and Klay and Jordan and Dante DiVincenzo are all healthy going into the playoffs, then Ty Jerome probably will be still a two-way player and therefore ineligible at that point. But to your point, they do need him.
You need him now
because you're down Curry and on some nights you're down Curry and Klay like tonight. So Ty Jerome is going to play. Moses Moody's going to play. He's been playing the last couple of games. The interesting dynamic, and it's John Dickinson and Alan Stiles here on 95.7 The Game as we're in for Damon and Ratto here on a Wednesday. 888-957-9570. That is the number to join the conversation. Xfinity Mobile text line is open as well. What's interesting about the young players and trying to evaluate the young players, it is a conundrum because as the young players continue to play a little bit better, and I think, you know, so far in this homestand, as we've laid out, 2 for 2 really for all three of them, but especially Kuminga last night and Wiseman going back to the game against Memphis, but all three have helped them win consecutive games as members of the rotation on this homestand. But the interesting part is we always have this discussion about, do the Warriors need to make a move? Do the Warriors need to make a move at the deadline? I know we've gone back and forth about what Bob Myers said a couple of weeks ago. You know, I took it as the Warriors have to prove themselves to be good enough over the next few weeks and leading up to the trade deadline to want to make a move, to believe that, you know, your record as you get healthy is good enough to where if you add one piece, it puts you over the top and you can win a championship. Otherwise, why would you even look to make a move? But the interesting part is, as the young guys play better in the rotation, in a sense, you don't, if they're playing better, you may not need to make a move.
Exactly.
Because the only way you'd make a move would be if you trade one of them. Well, if they're playing better and they're starting to fit into the rotation, because it gets back to two separate conversations about their ceiling for their career versus can they help this team right now. What the Warriors need right now is for the three of them to be able to fit their game into a small minute box and do enough little things to help that top seven that you talked about win games. Well, if they do that consistently, and we got a long way to go because we're basically talking about two games out of the entirety 35 so far this season that they've done it, but if they're capable of doing it over, let's say, the next month and a half, then maybe you don't need to make a move because you've got these guys in roles that can succeed short term, and that is what development looks like for the long term. So it's kind of a catch-22.
Well, they're stuck, and I'm curious as to how this gets viewed in the lens of other GMs and other teams. And I know we're still waiting to find out who's going to be a buyer, who's going to be a seller. Heck, the Warriors don't even know what they're going to be yet. We're hoping they're, if anything, they would be buyers. But when you look at the young core that you're talking about, JD, so if they play well, they have more value, I would assume.
Sure.
But the Warriors probably wouldn't want to move them.
Right.
They don't play well. The Warriors say, okay, let's move them. And now you're hoping that even though they're not playing well, some GM somewhere believes that it's just due to the situation and they still believe in their ceiling. So that is what I'm not sure how it's going to be viewed. If they're not playing well, is a GM going to say, I don't really mind that they're not playing well in this Warriors system. I want them as they are, and we don't have the Warriors system. We're a team that they can go out there. We've heard Kuminga could put up a double-double every day, or Wiseman could put up whatever every day if he was on, everybody always says, the Orlando Magic, right? So maybe that's the case. I don't know what the GMs are looking for. I will say on Wiseman specifically, another good game out of him. And to all those, I know Wiseman is a very polarizing figure because of the pick and everything that comes with it. But there are some people out there that just want to find anything negative about James Wiseman to take. And I just think that if you are going to continue to think that one day he's going to just wake up and be Shaquille O'Neal, you should just let that go. I'm not saying he's not going to be a good player. I have no clue what James Wiseman's going to be.
Well, if he does, it's going to be 3 or 4 years
from now. Right. At this point, can we just take it day by day? If we're saying what we're saying about Ty Jerome and less of a point, because I do think you had a good point on Anthony Lamb in terms of what they're going to do to help in this championship run. I know it doesn't feel right because he was a top pick in the draft. At this point, you have to put James Wiseman in that category as well.
When you look at the young players, I think this is what the Warriors envisioned as far as the beginning of the season. I think they thought they could get role player-like contributions from each of the three, and the reality is they just couldn't at the beginning. And circumstances and development and, you know, Wiseman going down maybe and coming back and Moody getting sat down and then coming back. Kuminga has gone in and out of the rotation a couple of times. He's had his minutes dropped and improved. I think Steve Kerr's really tried to manage him and use playing time as a carrot to, hey, if you do these things, you're going to play. You don't do these things, you're not going to play, which is why some nights everybody looks around and goes, why didn't Kuminga play more? But I think it for whatever reason, is starting to click at a level, I think, in the last two that the Warriors thought they would have at the beginning of the season, which, you know, I still go back to something Joe Lacob said, which was, you know, running it back, and he even said, and as an extension to this, you know, they're running it back to him was Steph and Clay and Wiggins and Draymond and Looney and Poole. Like, that's running it back. That's your top six players right there. That's running it back. And you know, it goes back to what he said even prior to that, which was, look, this team's going to go as far as those guys carry them, whether it's health, whether it's, you know, whatever. And I think you could say it's those guys and a competent 7-8-9, which the Warriors had last year once you got beyond Jordan Poole and it was Gary Payton and it was Otto Porter essentially as the 7 and the 8 at that point. You had 8 you really could trust and everybody else kind of, you know, in off of that. But the reality is it's the health of the main guys and the ability of the main guys that are the ceiling, and that's where it goes back to the 3-10 at the beginning. And I know they didn't have DiVincenzo. I said they were fully healthy. They didn't have DiVincenzo for a good, I think, 7 out of those 10. But it's a matter of, you know, they didn't win those games because the veterans couldn't finish games on the road against bad teams or were so lackluster early that they let the games get into pickup games and then they got bit down the stretch.
Yeah, and look, I think I joked earlier about DiVincenzo not having any points and it matches his number, but he did a lot of things besides scoring last night. His rebounding as a guard, they talk about it all the time on the broadcast, is ridiculous.
Played well last night.
His defensive prowess, I don't know, I'm not going to say it's GP2 level, but he can do some things defensively. So I think that DiVincenzo has been a huge addition to the Warriors, and that's what they'd hoped. But miss me with that. They didn't have DiVincenzo. That's not the reason they lost those games at the top.
But it was a lot more Ty Jerome, and it was a lot more Moses Moody before Moses Moody was maybe ready to play those minutes. That's the one thing I will say.
I'm still putting it on the starters. I'm still putting it on having the guys.
And I think
though,
Joe Lacob would.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I think Joe Lacob would. I think Bob Myers would. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, Bob Myers kind of said to Steiny and Guru a couple weeks ago, like, you know, that's really, he really kind of hemmed and hawed at the answer a little bit, but it was, he said, you know, we lost some games we thought we would win, and I think that's the thing that the Warriors probably look at the, what is it, 17 and 18 right now? Mm-hmm. They probably look at it and go, 17 and 18, but you know, the ones we can't explain are Detroit and Charlotte and, you know, Utah up 4 with 13 seconds, Orlando. So I think they almost look at it like, well, God, you know, it could have been, those four could have been, and you can't count them as wins, but it's like if you count them as wins, then they're 21 and 15,
yeah,
and the whole thing looks different because they'd be like fourth in the West at that point, but you can't.
You can't.
Like, you can't think of it that way, but I get why maybe they might want to. Let's sneak in Ryan in San Jose here at 888-957-9570. What's going on, Ryan?
Hello. Brian, what's good, y'all?
Oh, what's up, Brian?
What's goody? You know, one thing, like, I feel like everybody feels as if it was easy to replace these Otto Porters, these Juan Toscano-Andersons, these Gary Payton II. You know, you got to remember that in the finals, Jonathan Kuminga barely had any minutes.
Yep.
And he's like 19, 20, and Wiseman is like, no. Wiseman, is he 19 or 20? How old is Wiseman?
He's 21 now. Yeah.
He's 21, right? So remember when Wiggins went to his first team? How long did it take Wiggins to actually get into basketball form of Steph, Clay, and Draymond? Like, it took time. Like, we can't force these young players to just be 2023 championships this early in the season. And you know, games like yesterday, you see where Kuminga, Steph is playing, he's working hard. Like, I feel like some of those young kids got to get in the gym, too. It's just a lot of work that's going to happen, but I really feel more comfortable with watching them after Steph kind of like had to be on the side. Those guys have to step in and actually really play to get wins, because I'm pretty sure they want to get wins.
No, they have to get wins. And thanks for the call, Brian. Appreciate it. His line open, 888-957-9570. We'll continue the conversation, Alan, coming up. We're up against it a little bit. Again, keep it here on 95.7 The Game, as we've got a great show for you all the way up until 6 o'clock. And we are sponsored by the Golden State Warriors.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Back to Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game.
John Dickinson and Alan Stiles were with you till 6 o'clock, sitting in for Damon and Ratto here on 95.7 The Game. Jake Brendel, 49ers center, joining us coming up at 4 o'clock, right around 4 o'clock, so that will be a lot of fun. It's also a Warriors Wednesday, brought to you by SFO. Go to flysfo.com/holidays for your chance to win $1,000 toward nonstop flight from SFO today. And that's by Friedman's also brought to you by Friedman's Appliance, a trusted name since 1922. Visit Friedman'sAppliance.com today. So good stuff there on a Warriors Wednesday. We're talking some Warriors here on 95.7 The Game. 888-957-9570. Warriors with some urgency. I think that the two big takeaways for me off of the first two games of the homestand: Draymond and Klay Thompson bringing urgency, setting a tone, and the young players contributing toward winning once against a good team and once against a bad team. I think it's a little unusual to see the Warriors at this point showing that level of urgency. Like, mm-hmm. I think they're telling us, we all like to say that they don't care about the regular season. I think they're showing us right now that they actually do care about the regular season, and that they feel that these next 6 to 8 games, or 6 to 13 games, or however long it is going to go a long way toward determining how successful this season ultimately is, even with the other 40 to go after this is done.
Right. Well, I think it would be that the Warriors care about the regular season right now, to your point, because they have to. Because they have no choice. Early on in the season, we know they had the short off season. They went overseas, all that jazz. They came back. I wouldn't say that they felt like they could coast, but a lot of people weren't in rhythm yet. At the beginning of the season was the Steph Curry show. And although it was exciting as everything, it wasn't enough. And they were not winning the games where Steph... I'll never forget that game. The game, JD, against the Suns, where Steph dropped 50 and they still got blown out. I mean, that was one of the most absurd games I've ever seen in my life for a multitude of reasons. A multitude of reasons. So, the beginning of the season, they didn't get it done. They were not getting the job taken care of. Now they're in a hole and they understand we don't feel like we have the horses to where we can get what... 10 games back. Right now, they're 6 games back of first place. You know, we don't want to get down double digits. And we understand that with Steph out, you could blink. And the next thing you know, you are in a bit of a hole. And once you get into that hole, not only do you... That's a thing that people don't really think about, JD. When everybody says, okay, you got into a hole, now you have to win games. The further you get down in the standings, the more you have to rely on other teams as well. So you can fall down and say, hey, we just got to rattle off a bunch of wins. But if other teams are still winning as well, and we don't necessarily have to do the Eastern Conference versus Western Conference thing, but this Western Conference has been, everybody's been beating each other up, right? So maybe that's a good thing. But at the same time, there are going to be other teams that aren't just going to succumb and lose every single game. So this idea that, okay, even if we drop, we can get to where we get to as long as we do the X, Y, and Z, that's also assuming that these other teams are going to be terrible.
The other thing you can't do is assume health.
Like, exactly.
You can't assume, hey, Steph's going to come back and then he's just going to play the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. And Wiggins is going to come back and he's going to play the rest of the year. And maybe they do, but then Klay Thompson has to miss time.
Right.
Or then Draymond has to miss time at that, where Jordan Poole has to miss time. And you have to figure out how you're going to mitigate that, and that becomes problematic. So you have to get every possible win you can when you can.
Yeah.
And right now, there is what a lot of people believe. And look, I wondered, is the home stuff going to translate without Steph? Like, I thought people were talking a little too loudly about how the Warriors are just going to come home and snap their fingers and win a bunch of games. All right, so far, at least, they've showed me, okay, it seems like the home mojo is still working, right? Whether it's the role players and or the young players playing better at home, there seems to be more of an energy and an urgency at home, and they've been able to win a couple, you know, continue it rolling, really, with only one slip-up at home all year, that Indiana game. Losing to Denver early is no big deal. Denver's the best team in the Western Conference right now, so right. That's not a bad loss by any stretch. But what I'm getting at is these are winnable games, so you got to go get them, and so far so good at this point in time. But you can't assume that you're going to be in a better position later, because you may just keep thinking you are, and then you're not, and then at some point, you look at your team and go, well, what do we do?
Yeah.
Because, again, I keep coming back to it, and I think you disagree with me a little bit. I keep coming back to the fact that this team has to show over the next month and a half that they're good enough to add to, that they're good enough to try and tweak it. But what we may find is they're playing well enough with what they've got to maybe they don't need one more vet or one more player here or there. And I think that would be, in some ways, the best of all worlds. But it all comes back to urgency and winning right now.
Right. And speaking of, you know, the trades and things like that, on the YouTube chat, sure. I Overstand 510 says, Alan, if you could pick somebody before the trade deadline, who would it be, or what type of player would it be? I've always said, JD, I don't know where you're at on this. I know he's not going to be available. I would take Miles Turner, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But me personally,
not as a rental.
No, but me personally, if we're taking out the possibilities, if we're just focusing on the type of player, I love for the Warriors if they could add a Bobby Portis type of guy, right?
Sure.
Somebody who can, a 3-and-D guy, another gritty guy that can hit the corner three so you can, you know, do some things with him offensively, but you don't need him, but somebody to just bring a little bit more of that grit. That's the type of player I would love. I don't know what is comparable. I think the only thing comparable to that right now would be Jay Crowder. And like we talked about a couple days ago on Warriors Live, I would, even with Kuminga playing well, I would not say that Kuminga is untouchable, but I'm not moving Kuminga for Jay Crowder.
Well, that's
not going to happen.
No, that's it. And I don't think the Warriors want to move their young players for role players.
Mm-hmm.
Like the only way you move a young player that you think has a high ceiling for a role player is if you think that they're a role player.
Right.
Like the one guy that I could see of the group. Like, Moses Moody projects to me to be a role player. Like, I don't, and look, I, that could be right now. I mean, that, it can always change, but I still think Wiseman's high end projects to be, you know, starting NBA center, right? That
right.
could still be pretty good. Like, I'm not writing Wiseman off by any stretch, although I do think it's going to be difficult for him to be much more impactful than we've seen him be in these last couple of games. That's still a tremendous positive. I think the Warriors believe the upside on Kuminga is immense, right?
That,
but again, for this team, it's about, can he do some of the things he's done in these last two games in a 20-minute box? Like, if he can do that, then that's great. You're not trading him for a role player because you think his ceiling is way higher than that at that point. So Moody, in a weird way, may be the one guy because, yes, he's a young player, but you may view him and his future as being a role player. And so at that point, all right, maybe you do trade a younger role player for an older role player. But I think generally speaking, the Warriors don't want to trade any of your lottery pick talent for guys that are just going to be the eighth or the ninth man on a team.
Yeah, and even so, looking at Moody, I don't know. I don't know that it was the Warriors necessarily, but the book is already out that Moody is a low ceiling guy. That's not my words. That's everybody else's words saying he might be the most pro ready, but you know he doesn't have the highest ceiling. So I don't know what the Warriors would get back for a Moses Moody. I think we're talking about an expiring contract on top of, you know, what the Warriors feel would fit what they're trying to do. Should we even bother talking about at this point in terms of what could be viewed as having some sort of worth, I guess, in terms of a trade piece? Do we even bring up Patrick Baldwin Jr.? Would a GM even say, all right, I'll think about it? Or would they say, nah, I mean, don't waste my time with that?
Well, one thing that is interesting is if the Warriors think Patrick Baldwin Jr. is going to be a player, that could make somebody else expendable among that young group. Like, it's not necessarily, because you have all these young players, doesn't mean you project all of them to be a part of your future team.
The two timeline does not mean everybody's going to hit.
It doesn't mean that you're going to have Jordan, Moody, Kuminga, Wiseman, Patrick Baldwin Jr. as your starting lineup in 3 years.
Right.
You know what I mean? With Rollins coming off the bench, you know, and that's your top six.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't necessarily mean that. Like, you could think that, hey, you know, Baldwin Jr. has, you know, he's going to be a really good player here, and that means we can trade another player, or Kuminga's going to be this good, so we could trade this guy. Like, it all is kind of intertwined together. But yeah, I don't think at this point they'd be looking to move him, because he's still developing. And who knows? I mean, internally, they may think, hey, this kid's going to be better than all three of these guys 2 years from now. He just has to get himself healthy and continue to work. So I'm less inclined to, because we know little about those guys at this point, to include them. But again, I still think if it's Bob Myers and it's Joe Lacob, and you know, they're not looking at these young players as, oh boy, I'd really love to trade Wiseman for a rental center, when the Warriors don't even play their centers in the traditional way a lot of the time to begin with. Like, that just doesn't totally equate to me. 888-957-9570, JD and Alan Stiles here on a Wednesday on 95.7 The Game. Let's get to Mitch on the phone lines here next on 95.7 The Game. What's going on, Mitch?
How's it going, guys? Happy New Year. Happy month to you
as well.
Thank you. I just say, well, how about give Wiseman put him in the starting lineup so everything gets healthy, especially with Curry and other young guys picking up their game? Would it be wise to put him in the starting lineup?
Yeah, probably not. Thanks for the call, Mitch. No, I think the Warriors are pretty happy with what they get on a night in, night out basis from Kevon Looney. I mean, Kevon Looney's a glue. He is one of the guys. Like, he is one of the championship core guys. I know he didn't get thrown in like Steph and Clay and Draymond, and he probably shouldn't because he hasn't been around for all of them. But, I mean, he is right there. With, like, in Steph and Clay and Draymond's eyes, he's probably the next one along with Iguodala.
That basically, yeah. I mean, when you talk about the whole, the package deal and the core of this group, I just think what Kevon Looney does, you can't really replicate. And here's the thing.
You're not looking to bring somebody in that's going to start over Kevon Looney.
Well, if James Wiseman had been what I think we all, at his height, right, in terms of if his ceiling
was there.
I mean,
in a trade right now.
No. But if James Wiseman had come into the league and been tearing up the league, I don't know, and this is not a slight to Kevon Looney, I don't know that when they drafted James Wiseman, they thought that in the year 2023, Kevon Looney would be starting.
Well, no, because at the point they drafted him, Kevon Looney was dealing with neuropathy and had some injury deals. And
I'm saying after they drafted James Wiseman.
Yeah, no, but that's what I'm saying. When they drafted Wiseman, I think Looney was a major question mark.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really since then that he's become an Iron Man.
Right.
Basically going back toward the end of that 2020-2021 season. And, I mean, he had helped them win. It, you know, prior to the pandemic and all of that in the KD era. But no, I think there was some question as to whether Looney was going to even be able to completely fulfill his contract that he had signed, the first contract that he had signed. He proved himself, though, to be, I think, invaluable over that time. But no, when they drafted Wiseman, I think that may have even been part of it was, you know, they don't know about Looney. Like, right. What can he provide? But now I think Looney at this, I mean, to me, Looney's entrenched.
No, he is. And I think what's interesting about Looney is
he's a glue guy.
He's the most movable, immovable part of the Warriors because he does everything that the Warriors needs. Even last night, JD, he was having some trouble with some of the matchups. Just because he's a starter to add to that structure. And as another overused sports saying, he's a glue guy. He really is. Because last night, Steve Kerr noticed, okay, these matchups don't really, you know, look to be what is in Looney's wheelhouse. Here comes Kuminga. So even though he's a starter, it's not as if they use the role as a starter in the traditional sense. If something makes sense, it makes sense. If it doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense. So with that being said, to Mitch's point, if there is a game where Kevon Looney is starting, but for whatever reason, James Wiseman's balling out and his matchup is just the matchup that's working, he will get used as a quote-unquote starter, even if he doesn't start, if that's working like that. So I think you can still get what you're looking for from James Wiseman as a pseudo starter without starting, if that ever comes to be. But if it doesn't come to be, that's because, you know, nothing is matching up the right way. But Kevon Looney as a starter is the one that you probably don't move because you can do so much more with him after the game starts.
Yeah, I just don't. Like, to me, you need him at the beginning, and he's become a sneaky part of the offense as far as ball movement and screen setting and all of that. And you're right on the money with the fact that it's just he's a low maintenance guy.
Like, exactly.
If it doesn't fit that night, you take him out. If you take him out of the starting lineup, which the Warriors have done, he's not going to complain about it. He can be the first sub in and make it work. And sometimes starting small gives you an opportunity to not if you start small and take Looney out and then you're putting Looney in as a sub, well then Looney becomes the backup center at that point.
Right.
So you don't need a backup center.
Exactly. Right?
And it's a way to get away with not having a backup center if you don't want to play Wiseman or you don't have anybody else on the roster that you trust him. It's also a way to maybe at some point not play Jamichael Green if you did. You know, if you got into a pickle where you had this roster and didn't trust anybody, that's one of the ways you can kind of manipulate it.
Yeah, and look, going back to Kevon, I say this every time we speak about Kevon Looney, JD. I've probably already said it to you, but for everybody listening, look, if you got some time off or whatever the case is, or during the next commercial break, if you've never seen Kevon Looney's highlight tape from high school, I encourage you to watch because that dude was
a dude. You hit me to that.
I will never let
Whitley
that go.
I hit Whitley to that last night at the game.
Just
Whitley,
keep the train going. Just keep the train going.
It's funny. Whitley mentioned to me that someone had said to her that Kevon Looney was compared to Kevin Durant when he was in high school. And I said, well, have you seen the tape? And then I texted her the tape that you texted me.
That's
so it's
good
making
stuff.
The rounds.
That's
it's definitely
stuff.
Making the rounds. Let's go to Nick in Berkeley next year on 95.7 The Game. Yeah, and if you haven't, I mean, yeah, check it out on YouTube, right? It's the Kevon Looney, senior year mixtape, I think is what to search for from high school. And there's a little KD
in
Kevon Looney. What's going on, Nick?
Man, I just love Looney Tunes, man, because look, when he beats it out in Toronto, man, he's playing like damn near a ruptured lung. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then he getting in. His stats all through the playoffs, picking up the slack this last season when we won the title. And he just puts his head down and quietly goes about his work, kind of like Robert Parrish used to do, man. Not really saying too much, you know what I mean? But just doing it with almost like blank expression on his face. But he's so intelligent the way he positions himself. He does all the dirty work. The Warriors should slip with an extra $500,000 here and there, but I'm just like this, man. I'd like to see him, Wiseman, Draymond, Clay, and Steph on the court all at the same time and see what they do with that.
Thanks for the call. I mean, I think a lot of people would.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people would, although, and he said Wiseman, right?
Yeah.
I think a lot of people would. I don't know that the Warriors would. And the reason is, for whatever reason, they haven't. And I do think this is something to keep in mind, Alan, with the way that the young players have played now versus, you know, what happens when Steph comes back.
Mm-hmm.
Because so much of, I think, Wiseman not being able to crack the rotation in particular is the fact that he just doesn't play well with Steph. and he doesn't play well with Draymond at times, and or with Steph and Draymond. And it's like, if you can't play with those two, then you kind of can't play for the Warriors because of the way that they operate.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing, because we did get a text on the Xfinity Mobile text line. I wanted to bring this back at you a little bit. And it was the fact that the 510 push back on the Warriors' play of late versus early in the season. The bench was not what it is now. The Warriors are playing better now injured than they were fully healthy. And I don't agree with that, but the point I wanted to get to is the young players. I think you could make the case the young players, it's two games, but they're playing better now with this team injured.
Mm-hmm.
Steph not a part of it. Wiggins not a part of it. And so can they continue to play at the level that they have the next two games, or the last two games, period, as is? That's one question. But the other question is, can they continue to function the way that they have once you add Wiggins back? And the real rat on the table is once you have Curry back.
Right. And look,
'cause he changes everything.
It's almost a, you know, with the youngins playing better. It's almost a microcosm of what we're seeing with Jordan Poole. Jordan Poole, we know, has played much better as a starter. Now, why is that? Probably because as a starter, they said it last night on the broadcast as well, you're not pressing as much, right? You're not getting in. Okay, at what point am I going to get in? I only have so many minutes to make my impact. Jordan Poole as a starter, just very similar to baseball. He knows he doesn't have to go 100% right from the first inning. He knows he can kind of get into it and move things along. When he's on the bench, it's harder to do that. I feel like I got to go now. I feel like I got to show coach that I can do this, that, the third, even though we already got his money. And I think it's the same way with some of the young players. Now that they know they're getting more, you know, consistent minutes, they feel a little bit more comfortable. The thing is, you can feel like that right now. But to your point, JD, you have to be able, and same with Jordan Poole, you have to be able to tap into this when this isn't the situation. Because if the starters do their job, yeah, hopefully you get in early in the fourth because it's a blowout. A lot of times that's not going to happen. So you have to be able to find a way, I don't know if you need a sports psychologist or whatever it is, to tap into that feeling of, hey, it's a happy medium between, all right, I don't want to rush, I don't want to hurry things, but I have to understand that I don't have time to get into a quote unquote rhythm. That is why JD, and I'm going to take it back to Moses Moody, that's a guy that I always felt never needed the whole rhythm thing. Moses Moody will come off the bench after not playing for three games and hit a corner three his first shot of the game. He's always done that.
Yeah.
And that's why it's always been kind of a conundrum to me that I'll continue to talk about, you know, as I see him play. I will say that maybe I felt, as I watched him play defense, maybe I thought his defense was a little bit further along than it was. I think he has like the correct aura to play good defense, but maybe the idea of Moses Moody's defense actually is better than his actual defense. I think that's part of it, but I think that's what it is. I think all these guys are, you know, are playing better because they're getting into a rhythm earlier and they're not pressing, but you have to be able to tap into this once Steph comes back, once Andrew Wiggins comes back, because that's ultimately going to be your role, and we can't see a drop-off because you didn't get the same amount of minutes.
Jim and Martinez next here on 95.7 The Game. What's going on, Jim?
Hey, guys, you guys are making some good points. I'm really pulling for these youngsters. I mean, I was such a Moses Moody fan because he looked like he was like a six-year veteran, and he seems to have fallen back. But I just want to say, Kevon Looney, think back, everybody, to the finals. That guy destroyed Boston by rebounding. Just think back to that, and your mind is going to open up. I mean, he was like, if he didn't have 15 rebounds and like, seven or eight of them were offensive, that was minimum. I mean, he destroyed those guys. And I'm really liking this discussion. I'm pretty excited about the kids. I hope they can step it up while we're dealing with all these injuries, man. And good show, guys. Really appreciate you guys on there.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks, Jim. 888-957-9570. John Dickinson and Alan Stiles here on 95.7 The Game. But, yeah, you look at at Looney. And, I mean, he had some big-time performances. There's no doubt. 22 rebounds in Game 6 against the Grizzlies is the one that still comes to mind. As the Warriors were banged up in that series, and he was taken out of the starting lineup. And then as it goes, Steph and Draymond are like, no, you got to put him back in the starting lineup. It's funny. For all the times the Warriors have gone small in big moments to have success, and they did it at times last year in the playoffs, it was like, no, Looney. And I think that was the Looney is one of us,
right,
kind of moments, frankly, that we need this guy to win this series. And then he goes out and has 22 boards in the clinching game against the Grizzlies and sends him home.
He does those things where, and JD, I do love, we were talking about his high school mixtape earlier. He does have, it's not the biggest bag in the world, but it's a JanSport. He's got a bag, and when everything kind of gets a little stuck in the mud, don't let Looney shoot an open jump shot. His jumper, it's nicer than I think a lot of people think.
Well, I think the fact that he was a ball handler in his younger days, I think it actually helps him.
Right.
I think it helps him understand where guards want and to get the ball and operate and all of that. Like, I think it's even if that's not necessarily part of his game now, you're just comfortable with the ball in your hands. Mm-hmm. And so I think he's clearly comfortable with the ball in his hands, whether it's having to knock down a shot or whether it's, becoming a better screener and some of the dribble handoff stuff and the things that the Warriors do and all of that, in addition to the things that they've asked him to do. All right, 888-957-9570. We got 1 hour down, 3 hours to come. 49ers center Jake Brendel at 4 o'clock. He'll stop by then, as we are presented by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.